Wondery's new podcast, Dis and Tell, wades into the glorious mess of celebrity beef. Each episode explores a different iconic celebrity feud and asks, what does our obsession with these feuds say about us? Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye olde Bravo television. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the hilarious and wonderful Ronnie Darnell Garcia Delgado Fowler Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
So good to see you today for part two of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion recap we're going to be doing today. This is, I'm seeing you because it's Crappens on Demand, as always. So go to patreon.com/watchacrappens to watch along and support on the Crappens on Demand level to watch the video. And then also, hi, people. Very excited. Crappies coming up February 17th. It is a month from tomorrow or today. I don't know when we're putting this up, but it's going to be the best show of all time. We are lining up guests. It's going to be wonderful. Go to watchacrappens.com. Ticket link is there. Get your tickets before the good seats are all sold out. You know what? There are no bad seats. But, you know, if you want to be up front and close to the center of the action, you know what I'm talking about. And, yeah, watchacrappens.com for that. Can't wait. Bring a friend. Come solo. Who cares? It's going to be a great time. And that's like the big
it's
news.
It's going to be a great time anyway. Slice it.
Anyway, you slice it.
Anyway, slice it.
You could literally, you know, like, you know what's not a great time anyway? You slice it, a Kit Kat, because you can't slice that across all the bars. That's not a great time.
But you slice it, it's pre-sliced, man. You break off the piece. You don't slice a Kit Kat. You break it.
I know, but people do that shit. They bite, like, all the way across, you know?
I do.
And, like, you can't, that's not a great time. But the crappies, you could bite all the way across. It's a great time.
I am a rebel, and I do eat Kit Kat that way. I will open
do you really?
The whole thing. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you just can't help it. Like, you know how M&M's, peanut M&M's specifically, you're supposed to suck it, wait for the candy to melt, then the chocolate kind of crumbles with the candy, and then you get the peanut rare, and then you get the peanut all the way down to the peanut skin. Not rare, but, you know, you get it down to the peanut, and then you get the skin off of it with your teeth, and then you finally eat the raw peanut. That's how you're supposed to eat it. That's how, but I'm not saying that's how you do it. I'm saying, like, it's accepted that that's how you're supposed to do it.
It's accepted practice.
That's how you're supposed to. But Kit Kats, you know, sometimes I don't. I'll just crunch into the M&M and it tastes terrible, but I just want to eat it so bad that I just crunch into it. And I do that with Kit Kat sometimes. There, confession. I've confessed. That's the twist of this podcast. It turns out this whole time, Ronnie was secretly chomping on Kit Kats the wrong way.
Reality bomb teeth. Yeah, wow. The secret is out. It is a horrible secret, to be honest.
Would it be horizontally or vertically if that's how I was eating a Kit Kat? No one is here to listen to that bullshit.
Indiscriminately. Okay. How about that? You know what? Could you imagine eating Tic Tacs like it was a harmonica right from the center section? Like, how about that? That's even wilder.
I can't actually. You know, there's a lot of instruments I've tried to play. One of them is not harmonica because it's a mouth instrument and I want to eat the instrument. Like, I played saxophones. I played one when I was in, not even junior high. What's before junior high? I was in, like, was that band? Orchestra.
Yeah,
band. And I played sax and I would, like, ruin the reed because I would sit there and nibble on the reeds. I have a sickness. It's like a Kit Kat. It was like the Kit Kat of wood.
Saxophones are the Kit Kat of brass. That's the theme for today's episode. We got to dive into the Salt Lake City recap. I don't know if there's any other thing to announce except that Dwell Hello is going to be on week.
We've wasted enough time talking about Kit Kats. Let's get to it. People have a lot. This is a huge episode. Monica squeals. Oh my God, Monica. Jesus. Monica. All of them just screaming and fighting and not able to, stop talking over each other. Andy, you know, we all need to be very, very grateful that Andy's still showing up, because sometimes Andy just looks like he's done. Like the batteries are just dead and he's just like, I've had enough, you know? He's going to have his like, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore moment from, what's that movie called? Newsbreak? Network. He's going to have that moment. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore after this.
That's why I get a Kit Kat, because give me a break.
Hey, you know what I'm not going to take anymore? Love your boobs. I'm gonna not take talking about how great your boobs look. Okay.
Hey, Kit Kat, have you had any work done since I last saw you? Kit Kat's like, yeah, I'm actually a big cat now. I'm just one big bar. Well, I love it.
I've actually been eating the wrong ways since we've last talked, Annie, and it's changed my life. It looks great on you.
Tell me about it.
Hey, Kit Kat.
Eating the wrong way is the number one cause of relationship declines with the ship.
Hey, Kit Kat, is somebody eating you vertically? Looks good on you. So here we go. Salt Lake City. Tonight, did someone get thrown down the stairs? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why this show is the best show on television. So I don't care what the Emmys say, okay?
Also, by the way, falling or being thrown down a staircase is, I believe, the number one campiest crime in like the world of gayness, right?
It truly is. This is like the most 50s movie about like ladies, you know, like Valley of the Dolls kind of a movie that you can get.
Yeah, I recently, someone posted a clip of Dolores Claiborne on Instagram recently, which is a movie I really loved in the 90s. And so I was kind of like revisiting it, like reading the plot on Wikipedia. And I forgot that the movie starts with Kathy Bates being like a suspect of like throwing someone down the stairs or something like that. Like, of course it does. That movie is so gay and campy. Of course it starts with an older lady being flung down the staircase.
I am starting to see in comments just on Salt Lake City episodes in general, like a big divide with gays and women. And usually I feel like we're pretty much on the same side. I mean, come on, gays are pretty much... women are our best friends, I mean, for the most part, at least in my life. So I feel like the comments aren't usually that different from each other. But with Salt Lake City, I see it because I see like a lot of women being like, oh, my God, Monica's mother's a narcissist. Poor Monica's trauma. And that's why Monica's going through this, because trauma, trauma, trauma. And the gays are like, oh, my God, got thrown down the stairs. Yes, queen. Yes.
This is where we diverge as groups.
This is where we love the campy, horrible stuff. We're like, Linda! I mean, listen. It's after like this episode especially, Jane. I'm like, how does Linda not have a bigger following? Because this episode just kind of iconized her.
A gay icon.
What do you say? How do you say it? What's the process of becoming a gay icon? She's like yassified. She got
lionized.
Lionized.
She was yassified. She would.
That's an actual word. I like that word. Yassified.
She. There's nothing. No story ever comes out about Linda. About Linda that makes her a better person. It just gets worse and worse. But since she's not our mother, and we don't have to live with her, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's like because it's so over the top. It's so campy. It's like the best thing. Like I've seen now, is she inflicting huge amounts of generational trauma on Monica and Monica's daughters? Yes, and that's very sad. But I don't watch these shows to think about that too seriously, or if I ever teeter into that territory, I'm ashamed of myself afterwards.
Listen, I'm a Bravo fan. I have no place in my life for shame. I've given it up. I'm sitting in front of Bravo all day. That's just how I go. So we'll get to it because there's a lot. There's a lot going on. There's a lot and also nothing. There's like nothing. A lot, but also nothing new. You know what I mean? Well,
yeah.
So
and Mary.
I love it.
But one thing that I love, one thing that I love about this episode, or a lot of times the reunion episodes, is that it just... It starts up just like mid-argument. So like the part two starts now. And it just comes back to, bitch, I deserve to be here spending your kids' money on a fucking purse. You're irresponsible and you set a bad message. I'm like, ooh, I just love just coming in at a 10. I love it.
And she also did say, you with a Range Rover under a carport.
Yes, of course.
I don't know what she said. I checked it after. It's hilarious. Also, people all week have been like, oh my God, you guys need to watch this on Peacock because it's uncensored. And they're really saying, fuck you and C word. Yeah, also listen and watch what crappens. Spread the word because we're also saying fuck you. We don't say the C word, but we do say Cut Fitness, which is still probably better than this. It's probably more fitting than the C word.
It is.
So yeah, Angie's yelling and then Monica is squealing. She's like, are you insane? Keep on fucking kids out of your fucking mouth, you piece of shit. I'm like, well, again, she's not calling your kids anything. She's calling you a bad mother. And I feel like that's fair in the world of housewives. I feel like if she called your kids stupid or something, that would be bad. But calling you a bad mother is totally fine. Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you can have you should be allowed to have a performance review. Okay. So, Angie's like, well, then stop talking shit about mine, about Electra. Fuck off. Nobody wants you here.
And the gay's like, bullshit, liar, I do icon. So then Monica's like, thank you, Angie. Thank you. I'm very well aware of that. And so Meredith's like, listen, I would love to keep talking about this, but can we make it warmer? Whitney has sprayed silly string all over her spray tan to keep warm over here. Okay?
Jesus. Whitney is wearing a $30 Colt Gaia string mask and she's about to freeze. She's colder than her backyard when the hot tub's turned off.
All right, well, we'll warm it up. Okay, well, the Housewives universe has seen scuffling sisters, clashing cousins, and a very controversial step-grandfather. But one of the most fucked up things we've ever done is put Monica and her cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs mother, Linda, on your television screens. Let's watch. By the way, who killed the guy who says, next? On Bravo. We don't talk about him much, but they've got a lady doing it now. And this is not like a, you know, women shouldn't be able to hold this position. But what happened to the guy? Is anybody going to tell us? Is he still around and only part-time now? Is he retired? You can't just take away the Bravo guy and then not tell us where he went. Coming up next.
It's weird. Also, who fired the pun maker? Like, how do you lead into the Linda segment and say, let's take a look at their rocky road this season? Rocky road? Shouldn't it be something like, let's see who is more possessed this season? Or should I say, repossessed? Like the Range Rover.
Or if you're gonna use Rocky Road, be like, guess what? On the Real Housewives universe, we've seen some real mint chips, but let me tell you about Neapolitan. Monica and her mother have really been chunky monkeys down a rocky road.
Yeah, I was gonna say they never had a significant Rocky Road scene, so that was there was like a pun off of nothing. But what about something like the relationship between these two, can they ever mend it? Or is it like a bowl of guacamole to Linda serving just desserts?
Yeah, see, that's a lot. And that's what we get from making fun of the puns all the time on this show. Because look what happens when we try to do it. We're not just stringing mint chip, guacamole. I mean, come on. We need the pun people. Bring back the Bravo guy and the pun person, okay? Don't leave us hanging.
Yeah. So then we see a montage of Linda's greatest hits from the season, which I actually did hear that montage will be the festival opener for Outfest 2024. So, you know, congratulations.
Do we just need more time for people to really enjoy what Linda's done? Because that should... See, I think it was this. Because listen, during the season, we've talked about what a monster Linda is, but I feel everybody getting heated, or not everybody, but I feel people getting heated out there. Like, you think drama's funny? I mean, kind of, because I've been through it, okay? Like, you want to talk about mommy drama? I've had my own, okay? So, no, when it's happening, I don't necessarily think it's hilarious. When it's happening to somebody else on my TV, and said person is in a ball gown that looks like a napkin from a banquet tucked into their top of their ball gown. Yeah, I mean, I think it's funnier. And all put honestly, together like this, I think it's funny.
Honestly, if someone comes for me that I'm laughing at this Linda montage and that I think that she's like this amazing, wretched monster, and someone says, how could you laugh at this generational trauma? I'm going to say, how could you put your energy into me as a podcaster? Why don't you put your energy into something more important, like a nonprofit that will actually help these things instead of coming for me? I literally will not have any time for it. Don't come for me. Let me laugh at Linda.
So Linda is the Linda montage. Okay, so she, Monica's like, yeah, but you have to be nicer to me. Brr, like, girl. Like, when you hung up on me the other day, but you didn't really hang up, and you said, I hate your fucking guts, you fucking bitch. And then Linda starts laughing. She's like, that was a good one. Nailed it. Did you record that by any chance? I should do that on your voicemail so I have that, Monica.
And the old classic, what was it that she goes, she's like, you think I care, motherfucker? Did you just call me a fucker? No, I called you motherfucker. And then do like a black slow to fade to black off that, like, how powerful, what powerful abuse. I was like, standing ovation.
So one thing that they brought up was the thing where Monica's mom left her. I think I mentioned it last week in one of the shows we were doing, this one or the crappy hour or something. But there's a video that Monica's mom released that was like, I did not abandon Monica. The truth is, I got a job in New York, and I left Monica with friends. Monica loved these people. Monica babysat these people. Monica was best friends with these people. So that was the mom side. So then, motherfucker. So then we're back, and Andy's like, wow, lot to unpack. I mean, not a lot. Because you're the poor one, but still, so heartbreaking. Did you ever get to the bottom of Bermuda? What was your mom's involvement that made your family cancel on you? By the way, another thing we found out, because Monica actually tweeted at her mother, Mom, I apologize to you because I did find out that you were not the one that was responsible for this after all, getting my family to turn on me in Bermuda. And the mom's like, that is right, Monica. That is right. So Monica did know that her mother didn't do this. I don't know when she found out, but Monica's answer is right now is not what ended up being the truth.
Is it particularly sensitive to lead off a segment about Monica being dropped off in Pennsylvania while her mom gallivanted New York City by saying, wow, a lot to unpack here? Is that really the best thing to start the segment off with?
Well, we have a lot to unpack here. Not Monica, because we're not taking her with us.
Monica, I'd like you to answer this with some wild abandon, please.
That is terrible.
You know, it's a fucking podcast. Everyone, you know, I'm taking on the role of Linda terrible. Today.
I don't care if it's a podcast. Monica, it's been a lot of talking. Would you like an abandonment? Freshen up.
That barely even makes sense. It made like a trickle of snot come out of my nose, and now I have a tissue. Are you happy now? Are you happy that you produced me to this?
So incredibly stupid.
An abandonment. I would love to launch a breath mint company called a band, but like spelled like abandon, but like in a way that like doesn't look like it says abandon, like abandon. And people are like, oh my God, have you tried abandonments? Oh,
like so UBAN, like Ubon.
Abandonment.
Under it.
Ubonden. Ubon. So, it's like Ubon in like Berlin. Okay, I'll stop.
So Andy asked how long since they've spoken, since filming wrapped. And so she didn't get a straight answer from her family in Bermuda, what happened. And Monica says, girl, so... So my mother messaged production and said she wanted to go to Bermuda, and they said, and no. And so she got really pissed off, and she said she felt like I'm the one who should be there because the family remembers me more. And so she threw a huge fit, and I was like, did she do this because she didn't get to come on the trip?
Wow. 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 Still so much to unpack.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Being an actual royal is never about finding your happy ending, but the worst part is, If they step out of line or fall in love with the wrong person,
it changes the course of history.
I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
We've been telling the stories of the rich and famous on the hit Wondery show, Even the Rich, and talking about the latest celebrity news on Rich and Daily. We're going all over the world on our new show, Even the Royals.
We'll be diving headfirst into the lives of the world's kings, queens, and all the wannabes in their orbit throughout history. Think Succession meets The Crown meets real life.
We're going to pull back the gilded curtain and show how royal status might be bright and shiny, but it comes at the expense of, well, everything else. Like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Even the Royals early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Andy is talking about the, you know, the mom leaving when she was 12 and stuff. And Monica says that Linda went to New York to do television, like for a television career. And Andy's like, well, she got on TV, score. And Monica's like, she sure did. So he asks her, like, how do you feel about your mom tweeting about the show every week? And then we see the tweets pop up. Monica's not really, I don't think, coming. I mean, Linda's not really coming for Monica that hard. And look, to be fair, I kind of had these questions last week about the Reality Von Teese thing. I didn't think that Reality Von Teese was coming for the other ladies that hard. So I don't understand what, I mean, I can understand why they're mad, especially after we saw the stalking and, you know, all the other stuff that's come from it. Of course, they're going to be mad, but they didn't have any screenshots of. They had a couple. They had the one where she said Whitney was a swinger and Heather, she was posting something that Jen had said about Heather looking like Shrek or something like that. So we had seen a couple, but we hadn't seen a ton of evidence of Monica being horrible to the other women. And I feel kind of the same way with this one. Like, I don't see a ton of proof here of Linda really coming for Monica. I think Linda's being kind of dragged, and rightfully so, because it's not like Linda's innocent, but Linda's being dragged every week, and I think she's going on Twitter tweeting about the episodes, kind of standing up for herself. What do you think?
Yeah, but like, even if Linda's only a little bit coming for Monica, that's massively fucked up, because that's her daughter. And could you imagine, like, lightly coming for your daughter on Twitter? Like, that is just,
you're,
well,
just, if I talked about my mom and she came out and said, no, that's not how it happened, this is how it happened, I wouldn't love it, but she would have the right.
Right. Yeah, I guess. But I just think that, like, you know, Linda, who made a fuss at Angie's, like, be quiet. You are making a scene at Angie's at Greek Easter. Be quiet, Monica. And then all of a sudden she's going to spat off on Twitter. So I'm going to say, I think Linda should ixnay. She's supposed to be, she's still the older ixnay and wiser on one. And so she should ixnay on the Witcher Tay.
The E-tway, X-tway. So we see some tweets popping up, and one is, Monica begged me to do this reality show with her, and I'm not competing with my child unless it's in sports. So that was funny. And she also says, I'm too smart to go up against Monica. She did me dirty here, and I always put her needs above my own, even in my adulthood. I'm not a perfect human, but I am a devoted mother. And Vovo. God bless us. She ends a lot of her tweets with God bless us. Prayer hands, white heart.
So Andy's like, Lisa, I'm curious. You know, you went pretty hard at Monica, and you two went at each other about your relationship with her mom. And, you know, you called her, you know, she called her mom Ted Bundy. And watching the show, did you think that, like, you rethink how you approached her and her mom? And Lisa's like, well, that's like a two-part question. So what I observed on Easter was Monica's mom being, like, lovely and charming and, like, my hair looking great. And I said that statement based off of what I saw, not of history. And, but I also said, I don't live in their house. It's way too small for me. So I couldn't, you never know what's happening behind closed doors, especially if you suspect those doors only lead to a tiny closet.
You know, Andy, once I actually saw it on TV, I was like, wow, that's so much shiplap. And I regretted it.
I regretted it, Andy.
When I saw it on TV, I said, does it count as an open concept if your dining room is in your kitchen?
So Monica's like, and I appreciate that. And I can appreciate how, like, from an outside perspective, it does look like I'm a complete bitch to my mom. But anyone who's dealt with it can see what she's doing. Which, yes, you know, whatever is said about Monica or whatever, you know, nutcase she turns out to be over the course of this reunion and this season, Linda sucks. I think we can all agree.
Linda's a monster.
I mean, that is definitely a wrestling match where you want both of them to win and both of them to lose at the same time, you know?
Yeah, Linda is a full monster, but like as a presence on our television, I think she is a gay icon. So Andy's like, so, you know, she left her 12-year-old to pursue a career in television. Do you think your mom was like auditioning to be a housewife? And so Monica tells the story. She's like, girl, when I applied to be on the show, I did like my phone interview. And the first place I went to was like my mom's. I just laid on the couch, girl. And I like cried. And I was like, I totally like fucked this up. I like totally fucking bombed it, girl.
And she's like, and then my mom said, Monica, let's say a prayer. Dear Joseph Smith, please let me get this show and not Monica.
I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
So supposedly Monica, let it be me. Like that. This is some Lucille Bluth. Like, not even, it's not really Lucille Bluth, but like, this is like the stuff that we'd like dream of.
But also, I don't believe, like, part of me is like, I don't believe it. But then I'm like, you just saw a clip of Linda's greatest hits. Of course it's true. Like, of course it is true that she would be like, okay, Monica didn't get it, then please let me have gotten it instead.
And we also saw, for those of us who saw that video that Monica recorded of her mom when she was yelling at her mom, Linda was like, Monica, you failed your job. You have to be an actress. This is about acting. It's about being in as many scenes as possible, Monica. So she definitely does think like that. But Monica's credibility is so in the gutter also. Let's just really not overlook that. You know, she was caught in a bald-faced lie last week saying about how she applied to be on the show. She fully lied there. They keep on catching her in lies. So she definitely is from the school of Tamara, where I think she hears something and she hears like a nugget of she hears something and then there's like a nugget of truth going forward, but she distorts it and embellishes and puts it forth as fact.
Why couldn't you have finished? Why couldn't you continue that sentence until
I should have had a... Sorry, I didn't realize you were winding up for a sneeze. I was like, look at me being succinct-ish.
I didn't know I was either, but it just came out. I'm so sorry. We're so unprofessional. We're not taking that out. So,
yeah, staying in. It's natural.
Yeah. So Monica's mom supposedly prayed that she got it instead. Now, here's my question: as gross and also hilarious as that is, why is it totally like girl power when Monica last week was like, so what? So what if I just wanted to be her assistant to get on the show and audition for the show? Is it wrong for me to want to be on the show? Well, why is it wrong for your mom to want to be on the show if you didn't get to be on
Moms
the show?
Have dreams like,
doesn't
too.
That work? Doesn't that work both ways? Like, why is it sick for your mom but not for you? That's my question.
Careful the words you say. Children will listen.
Rhonda's will listen. My mom's going to show up here tomorrow like, hi, welcome to Watch What Crap and you motherfuckers. You know what you need?
Linda is basically the witch from Into the Woods. There are a lot of parallels there. It's the last Greek Easter.
Oh,
So Heather is like, and you still filmed after all that? And Monica's like, well, that's a fair question. But Monica's like, I filmed with my mom because it's still, you know, just it's her normal, you know? So Andy's like, wow, it seems like she has a habit of sabotaging you when you've had success. Are you sure there's been no campy gay films made about her already? She seems kind of ready to go.
Yeah, so I got lost where we are.
So basically he's like, it sounds like your mom sabotages. And she's like, yeah, by the way, like when I first started dating Mike and she saw how happy I was, and Andy goes, oh man, I'm scared to hear this, mainly because I think of all the good stuff our cameras have missed over the years. Oh God.
So she says that she brought Mike around for the first time and he came to the house and Linda saw how happy she was. And so she banned him from the house. And now that is the witch from Into the Woods, right?
Like, yeah.
You come around my daughter. And then like has the birds poke out his eyes or whatever the hell it was. I know I'm mixing up Into the Woods storylines, but still. There's something missing from this story. Like Mike showed up and he was nice to her. So the mom banned him and said, you're never going to take my daughter away. So which is it? Does Linda hate you or does she love you and not want to let you go? This is all too much.
I know.
Hey, I got something to say. Until you have the opportunity to see it from the outside looking in, you have no idea how much you're being monopoly and
monopoly, David. I'm the little race car. I called it.
I'm the thimble. Please.
Now, in all seriousness, this guy is also a piece of shit, this Mike guy. Monica came out with an Instagram earlier this week saying that the reason people have been asking a lot about her divorce and why, like the timeline of it, basically, because she talks about it like it was a long time ago. But then we found out that the divorce was just recently, this October, I think, was when the divorce finalized. And she said that he was actually abusive and he got arrested for abuse and then later was arrested for violating the restraining order or the protective order. So yeah, this guy's a piece of crap. So who knows what was going on there, but glad that guy's not in the fucking picture.
Right. So Andy's like, Heather, you have a complicated relationship with your mom, but it doesn't feel as like great for gay audiences. Can you tell us a story? Did you ever push her down a staircase? That'd be great. Did you ever do that? She's like, yeah, no, we just text on for birthdays and for Christmas. And, you know, I knew the conditions of my family. And if I would do the show and leave the church and I signed up for this division. And she just basically says, like, I know I set myself up for this.
And then we talk about Whitney's mom, and Whitney cries because she hasn't talked to her mom forever. And they finally kind of came back to each other and realized that a huge part of it was her father in the first place, who she doesn't have a relationship with now. And so that's, you know, all the parental stuff. There really is like a lot of sad shit in this show. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's Monica. Like, we're laughing about because we're fuckers, but I mean there really is just a lot. God. Right. So then Whitney, let's get to more fun things.
No, well, here's the transition. So Whitney is like crying and she's bearing her soul about how she's reconnected with her mother. She realized she had to remove her father from her life and she hasn't seen him. He hasn't seen her. They're avoiding each other. Toxicity, da 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 da. And then Andy, hey!
Andy's sleeping Monica. Like Big Bird. He's just like,
no. Whoa, I'm going down the stairs. Who did it?
Yeah, it's like this emotional thing. Like, hey, did someone get thrown down your stairs? On Greek Easter.
So then we bring on the most evil and controversial Real Housewife of all time, Sushil Medea. Here she comes in her blue feathered ball gown. So we bring up some tweets and it turns into social media fight. So there's a tweet that Monica's like, see what you want about me, whore, rat, disrespectful homewrecker, spoiled, broke, and assistant. And I loved the leaps too. Whore, rat, disrespectful homewrecker, spoiled, broke, and assistant.
The worst of all.
The worst of all. Save the biggest for laugh. She said, I made sure my girls weren't there for that situation because they were saying, why, Monica, why are you acting like this around your children? You should be ashamed of yourself. And the editing made it look like the kids were sitting there the whole time that she was having these fights. And it turns out the kids were in the basement this whole time playing whatever in the basement.
Pin the tail in the baklava. So Monica was like, she's like,
girl, so this was like right after our conversation with like my mother, and I was like going down to the basement to get my girls to leave, and I just like started crying, and like with my eyes, I like couldn't see, and like I've never been to your house before, and like I went to grab the railing, and there was no railing, and I just fell down the stairs.
I was like, people fall downstairs, that's fine, and there probably should have been a railing. But, like, the way she describes it is, again, truly, like, the most, like, campy gay thing of all time. She was crying so hard, she was blinded by her tears that she fell down a staircase. Like, are you kidding me? I was cracking up at the description of it.
So we see her being like, I'm not talking to you, literally, dead-ass, or whatever. And so she storms off, and we see the cameras through a mirror, and then we see her turn the corner, and then we just hear, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
Yeah.
And then in Texas, I heard Ben like,
I love a pratfall. I love a pratfall. I'm sorry.
And then
no one was hurt.
we see the video of this, which I love. It's unseen footage. We get a lot of unseen footage, which I really liked. And so we see the footage. There is no railing on these stairs. Okay. And then one of the family members, I think, is like, oh, whoa, you fell. Are you okay? She didn't tumble down the whole stairs.
She went down like 3 steps.
I wonder if they added a sound effect because it really did sound like,
you are walking home dead ass.
Boom, 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 boom.
Girl, 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 girl.
Like, how far did she fall down? But then when we see it, it's halfway down the stairs, and it looks like she slipped and fell on her butt. So, which painful, you know. So the guy comes up and he's like, oh, whoa, you fell. I'll bet it's those shoes, huh? It's those shoes.
And then a girl comes up and is like, do you want to take your shoes off? You want to take your shoes off? Those damn heels, you know? And so Monica, she's just sitting there. She's like mortified because, of course, she fell on her butt. And now there's a camera behind her and she's had an argument with her mom. So she takes off the shoe on her right foot and just sort of like, she kind of like throws it down the stairs. So that is the big falling down the stairs drama.
So like then Angie's like, yeah, and you threatened to sue me on Greek internet, which I think we should discuss that right now. And she's like, Angie, is there anything you don't have a problem with me?
This coming from you, Monica. And she goes, and she's like, did I sue you? You threatened to sue her.
But I said, should I? Should I?
No, you didn't. You said, I should. You fucker. So.
And then we see a tweet and Monica's saying, almost hit your niece, ? You were the biggest freaking asshole. You know damn well what happened. I left your house with bumps, bloody and bruised, ! I should sue your ass for not having your home to code, you fuck. And you said, you piece of shit. And then Angie's like, and you also said, you piece of shit. She goes,
well, yeah, I did say that. And you were a piece of shit because I was responding to what you said.
And then she goes, and then you threw a shoe and almost hit a Greek toddler.
You almost hit a toddler with your shoe. I love that. But, and by the way, to Monica's credit, when we saw her throw the shoe is definitely like just thrown down the staircase. It was not thrown
she
through the
did
air.
Not almost
the
hit
room.
The baby in the
head. No toddler. Okay. And the toddler would have been fine.
Yeah, there was a toddler, but she did not hurl the shoe across the room, barely missing a toddler.
But again, this is why this season's so good, because you have sentences like, you threw a shoe and almost hit a toddler.
And she's so like, I didn't throw a shoe. My shoes went up a line. Which is also a lie, because we saw you toss the shoe. But you're both full of it. Basically, you're both full of it. So Angie's like, okay, well, then what about this? You tell your side, and then I will tell my side Greek, because you won't let me Greek talk, and you talk, and I will respond, because that is how adults do it. And Angie's like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. But I am good with children, so I am good with Monica. Choo-choo. Choo-choo. Eat your food and then dessert.
The plane is coming in to the hangar. Monica's like, so Monica's like,
girl, I fell on the freaking stairs, okay? And like, once you were flying off, and my other shoe was like half hang on, so like, I undid it and I threw it down and I said, I want to go home, girl.
And I loved that I actually had to rewind and watch the footage again.
Me too, of
and
course.
In the footage, she does not throw the shoe at a child. Ha ha, I can't with this show.
But so, both of them just over-dramatizing the staircase. Because Monica's version is, there were so many tears in my eyes. I was so emotionally moved. I was blinded and I went around the corner and fell down the stairs and broke every limb in my body and crashed into a mirror on the floor. And Angie's is like, she barely fell. And when she did get up, she took off her shoes and threw them at a toddler's face.
She threw a baby into a fire pit. It's like, whoa, what? So then Andy's like, okay, anything else happen? And she's, yeah, I was bloody and I was bruised. And then I went upstairs in a body cast and filmed a scene with my mother. So then we see a tweet and it says, this is from Monica. It says, after falling down Angie's stairs at Greek Easter because you had no railing, all caps, ! Everyone's saying I left my mom. Yes, yes. And I went straight to the hospital and she knew I fell down the stairs. And my convo with her on the couch was after I fell, which is shady again of the editors to make it look like Monica was just sitting there like all pissy. It's like the woman had just fallen downstairs. You know, the way they edited it.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, they re-edited it to make it look like obviously we didn't know any of this stuff happened, and it looks like she's doing this in front of the kids and all that. So they were pretty shady to Monica with this edit.
Yeah. So Monica's like,
so I said to my mom, like, find your own ride home. And she got like an Uber, and I guess like production called like an Uber, and she said, I'm not getting in that shit box because it was a Subaru.
I was like, this is when Ben officially turns.
I was like, how
Ben
dare
is officially
you?
Done.
How dare? No, but I was honestly like, good for her. Good for her.
Who, Linda? Being like, Linda,
I was like,
shit
she
box.
Does. She's like, I would like a Mercedes, please. I'm a celebrity.
Star. Yeah,
I worked for this. I worked hard for this.
In the clip we saw on the internet, not on the show, but of Monica screaming at Monica was taping her mom while her mom was losing it at Monica, right? And they were talking about Greek Easter, and the mom's like, Monica, I don't know why you're mad at me. I was trying to make it so people would still film with you. You're in someone else's house. You're screaming at someone else, Monica. And this is a job. You have to be nice to people so they'll shoot with you. And one of those, it's like, and I had to go home in a shit box.
Right.
It was that. I was that. Part of that. But I also love that one of their running things in their relationship is Monica has shitty credit, most likely due to, well, I mean, who knows? There's like a lot of lawsuits about debt and stuff in her past and still ongoing. But who knows? Probably it's because of divorce and stuff. Like, people face a really tough time after that. But she's got a lot of debt or whatever. But I love that their running storyline is that she has to put the car under her mom's name. And then when the mom gets mad, she takes away the car. But then when Monica's mad, she makes the mom walk places or call an Uber places.
Right.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Angie's like, she's like, may I say something? And Monica's like,
well, girl, you might have a better memory since you didn't hit your head. So go ahead, girl. So
Angie's like, okay, Monica, I do have a really good memory of the day because I had family that left because they felt it wasn't a safe environment. And she's, oh, and she goes, hey, it's my turn. You go online, okay? You threaten to sue me. And then you say, I should send you the bill for the head scan, which you did not pay for. Production paid the bill. So now you're telling the entire internet that I broke your head.
You started it with your nasty twin.
So Monica cannot let her get it out. But in her defense, this is all insane. On both sides are both nuts right now making stuff up. So Monica's like, you started it with your nasty tweet. And then Lisa's like, what was nasty about her tweet? So we don't see the tweets again, but I repeated them because Monica started it with, say what you want about me, that I'm a whore, a rat, or an assistant, but my girls were not there. And then Angie tweets, production did you a favor. We don't need to see the stills to know you did this in front of your kids. Don't forget, you almost hit my 2-year-old niece in the head with your shoe. And shut the fuck up with your lies about Sean.
Monica's like,
well, to be fair, I had a conversation with Meredith and I told her the situation and she said, you want her house? You can take her house.
And I was like, no. I did not say you can take anyone's house ever.
We gotta take your house, which you know that Meredith fucking said it. Like, I think everybody knows that this is true. And Heather goes, Meredith, did you say that? And then she goes, yes, she did. She said, let's get you this house. And Meredith goes, did I say that there's potential liability there? Of course, there was potential liability. Did I tell her to steal the house? I did not. I would never do such a thing.
Well, it's apparent you make a living off of suing people. And Monica goes,
bitch, I have like never sued one person in my life.
And she's like, there are multiple lawsuits under several of your names. And she goes, who have I sued? So they're fighting now about who Angie has sued. And they're just talking over each other and squealing over each other. And then Heather goes, well, you're suing me. And Andy goes, wait a minute, are you suing Heather? It's like, no, I am responding to her suing me. And Heather goes, well, it's a countersuit, but you are suing me. And she goes, but I wouldn't have sued you. I'm just responding to you suing me. And Heather's like, yeah, but Mine is a collection suit from a bill you didn't pay. And you're, and that is true. And I'm surprised they didn't go into this, I guess, because it's a pending lawsuit. But Monica went and got a bunch of work done at Beauty Lab under a different name and then never paid the bill. It was like a $2,500 bill. She paid the $499 deposit and then never paid the rest. There's a Sun article about Monica DMing with the person, the physician's assistant or whatever, who did the work on her, saying, "Oh my God, I love this work. This is great work. Can't wait to see you again. Almost so set you had to cancel for the next appointment. Blah, blah, blah." But now Monica is countersuing Heather, saying that she was unhappy and they botched her work and all of this stuff. So that's what this is all about. So, So Heather's like, "That's a collection suit." And Angie goes, "Well, why sue back? Why not just pay your bill?" And she goes, "God damn, no." And I love that Monica just left it at, "No, I'm not going to pay my bill." And didn't go into a whole, "You botched my face." She was just like, "No, I'm not going to pay my bill."
Yeah, but I liked Angie being like, "Why are you suing? Just pay your bill." Yeah, but of course, Monica's definitely not paying that bill. 100% not. So, hey, Snuggles from the Bear says, "Lisa, you told Monica no one wants to be your mom. Do you regret saying that?" So I thought Lisa was just going to do a simple like, "Well, yeah, you know, after seeing that, I see she has a lot of damage." But Lisa's like, "No, well, I think that conversation got misconveyed." Monica's like, "Misconveyed?" And she goes, "Yeah, because I rebutted as sophomore as you dished it. Yeah, I'm just going to make up words left and right here. So like, you were the nasty one all season, not me." She's like,
"Girl, I was not the nasty one, you stupid fucking bitch whore skank. Like, I was responding to the energy that I was given, girl."
"Oh, yeah? Fix your face, fix your eyes, look at your ugly face. That's things you said."
And she's like, why are you addressing Angie? She called Meredith a trampoline with eyes. Then Angie's like,
"Yeah, but that means that her face is smooth and tight. I was being nice with that one."
And Lisa's like, "I want to be a trampoline with eyes." They're just like all gaslighting this.
Heather's like, "Yeah, yeah, I would. I'm like, I pay a lot of money to like try and look like a trampoline with eyes. That's a total compliment."
They're like, now they're just like really on board to being like, "Sure, let's just sell this trampoline with eyes thing. Why not?"
It was a compliment this whole time.
It was a compliment in the middle of a vicious fight. That's all.
So then Monica, who just got on Lisa for not being able to pronounce words, by the way, she was correct. Now Monica goes,
"Oh yeah? Well, touchette. Touchette, bitch. Touchette."
Heather goes, "What does touchette mean?" She goes, "What does touchette mean?"
Yeah, I was like, touchette. Oh my God. This... Bravo celebrities are having a hard time this season with phrases between her and Olivia. So then Lisa's like, "You're nasty to women, you are.
So are you, girl."
"No, I'm not, okay? I made a comment, and you can cling onto whatever comment you want." And she's like,
"Weren't you nasty to Meredith?"
She's like, "It's none of your business if I was nasty to Meredith, because we fixed our stuff, okay? And you started with a piece of shit, and you said, call me the 1%, whatever." And then they start, like, talking over, they just start yelling over each other about, like, who dished it? You can't dish it. You can dish it, but you can't take it.
Andy just literally crumples in his chair. He's like, "Oh God, please, I can't do this anymore, please." And then Lisa goes,
"This is why your mom talks to a tree. You don't listen." She goes, "Oh my God, throw my mom in my face." She goes, "Oh yeah, you're so manipulative." And she goes, "What do you mean I'm manipulative? You just said it."
So they're screaming, and so Lisa's like, "I'm gonna get very direct with you." So then Monica's, you know, squeaking about, "Oh my gosh, you said nobody wants to be my mother." She goes, "Yeah, but it's because you said that I'm not your mom." Oh my God. And then Monica goes, you know, see, this is the thing. They just go so low. It's like, how can you pick a side? Because then Monica goes, "How could you even say that when your husband's adopted? You're disgusting." Oh my God. Right. And then Whitney covers her nose and she's like, "Oh my God, this is hurting my ears. Why can I still hear it?" She's like, you're covering your nose, Whitney. "Oh, okay. Thank you." "You're welcome." "What?"
"Hey, you know what? John wasn't even offended by the adoption comment because I told him he shouldn't be offended. And he said, okay." So then Monica's like,
"Well, I don't even know what your problem is with me. Like, dead ass. I don't know what your problem is with me."
Which Monica, okay, come on now. So Heather's like, "Well, give it a minute and then we'll let you know."
And Monica's like, dead ass. And so Annie goes, okay, well, she'll tell you in a little while. Okay, so my blood is from Saccharin says, Lisa, what did you mean when you said that we were dealt the same deck of cards when you were talking about Monica? Just, oh my God. So Lisa goes, okay, look, I look at things in the most positive way possible. And Monica just LOLs. And she's like, I do. Listen, like, I didn't know a thing about your relationship with your mom. And I asked you at the sound bath, I was like, why do you hate your mother? And why do you want us to hate your mother? And I asked you like four times and you didn't have an answer. You just said, you'll see. And Andy goes, well, we did see. We did see.
Well, the bottom line is you, like, wouldn't stop. You said I'm mediocre. You went after my family. You said nasty things about my husband, who you don't even know. You said you don't like Diet Coke. You don't even like Wendy's. Like, what's up with that? And Monica's like, what did I say even about John? And they all are like, and she's like, you called him a penis head. I don't even remember that. I vaguely remember it, but it's like a season.
We're waiting for this big bomb to drop, and Andy goes, you called him a penis head. So funny. And Andy just stares at the camera like B. Arthur in Golden Girls. He's like, this is what I'm feeling. This is what it's come to. And Heather goes, why? Why would you call John a penis head?
And he goes, why? And then 5 minutes later, you wanted to fuck him.
Holy Sally. Okay. Sally from Field TV Movie of the Week says, why does Monica have so many identities on Google? So your maiden name was Fowler. Is that correct? And she goes, no, my maiden name was Darnell. Girl. My married name is Girl Fowler. And he goes, okay, well, what is Delgado? Well, that's my dad's side. Okay, what's Garcia?
Well, that's my mother's side, because my mother was born Linda Darnell Susan Maria Garcia, okay? And when she was growing up, she was teased for being a Portuguese, and so she was called racist things all the time. So when she became legal, she was ashamed and became Linda Darnell. So when I was born, I was Linda Darnell. I was Monica Linda Darnell. And that name means nothing to me. So when I was getting a divorce, I changed it 20 times.
Oh, okay. Okay, now, it makes total sense.
Now, you know, I know some people don't want to think of Linda as like a gay icon, but nothing is campier than the fact that Monica's mom's name is Linda Darnell Susan Maria Garcia. Like, that is like, I was like, it's perfect. It's perfect. Don't change a thing.
So Andy brings up when her mom was like, oh, come on, Monica Darnell, and Monica getting super pissed because she just outed her real name or whatever on TV. And Monica's like, why would you call me that? And she goes, oh, well, I'm sorry, Monica. I just don't know what your fucking name is. You change it every other week.
So Andy's like, OK, so you've used four names. She goes, no, I've used three names. She goes, well, the one I was born with, the one when I got married. And when I got divorced, I was like, oh, actually, I guess that is a fair amount of, like, that's not actually out of
the. Okay, but why did you use three different ones just at Beauty Lab alone? I mean, come on.
Well, then there's that, too.
Come on. There's probably, like, a tiny bit of truth in that. But she does have tons of lawsuits, and they're all under different names. And I'm sorry, that's just fishy. It's just, you know, bringing up, like, my mom was traumatized. You know, it all comes back to, like, some kind of past trauma. There's too many names. I'm sorry. There's too many name changes to just be normal. It's fishy. So, to me. So then she's like, and then she says,
but the fact, like, people here were making fun of the fact that I was using Delgado Adriano Garcia or whatever.
Did she say Adriano? Because I rewound it like three times. I was like, is that another name? Or do you think she was trying to say Darnell and it was just, it sounded like Adriano.
Because I only wrote down Delgado Garcia, but there probably was a lot. I mean, who knows? Monica's just always going to pull out another name. And so she said that she had confided into her.
She's like, how dare you? I use three names. So when people accuse, and one of them was Nikki also, which she didn't say here, but one of them is Monica Nikki something. But she's like, how dare you? I've only used three names. Jennifer, Patricia, Penelope, and Ruth. Wait a minute. I mean, those are that's four names, and those are different than all the ones you just listed.
I'm Monica Delgado Garcia, Silverstone Corvette, McDonald's, Francisco.
It's just brands. She's like, Time Warner. Rice-a-roni.
I'm Warner Peacock, NBC Universal. Wait a minute.
So
wait a second. Are you all the streamers? And then all these writers were saying I was taking advantage of them.
It's like, gosh. So then Lisa's like,
wait, hold on. So we missed the main point of this, making stupid jokes. So she is saying that they were accusing her of basically changing her name to look more Latina just to get on the show. And Lisa goes, who said that? And she's like, you did, Lisa. And she goes, I did not say that. Do not look at me and say that when I did not say that, because you're saying that I said something that I did not say. I did not say that.
So this is actually an important point for a little bit later. Lisa goes, you know who said that? Jen. And Monica's like, no, she didn't. And she's like, yes, she did. And Monica goes,
so, oh, you're just like repeating what Jen says now? Like, that's what you do? You just repeat what Jen says?
Which is important because later on, Monica's like, oh, it wasn't me. I was just, like, the whole voicemail thing later is like, I wasn't saying that about Mary. I was just repeating what Jen said.
Well, it's also annoying because Monica does the housewives thing where she fights by over-talking you and just repeating things over and over. It makes me nuts, but it is a tried and true housewives, what do you call it in war when you have a strategy? It's a tried and true strategy, but it makes me fucking crazy because I want to know, like, there's a lot of mystery here. And Lisa goes, yeah, well, Jen said you went by different names, and then starts going like she's listing off. She's like, li. And then Monica overtalks her and goes, oh, really? So we're just going off with Jen Strauss? Like, I want to hear what you're saying. And Lisa goes, you fake fucking bitch. And then Monica just goes, she does her like squeal sigh thing. So then we go to commercial and we come back and we start talking about Jack Barlow because he was seen in California in his mission garb. What happened?
And Lisa's like, oh yeah, he bounced on his mission. So he's like not going. He's just like hanging out with friends, surfing, doing all the good stuff. Ah! And he's like, okay, like what really happened? So it turns out that his paperwork was behind and he didn't have a visa yet, which Heather vouches for, says like that is something that happens when the visa's not ready. They just send the kids stateside to do their missionary in places like California. But then Lisa says, and by the way, Jack is like the real reason why he had to wait so long, because he has like a great six pack. Yeah. And like he took a picture on the boat of himself like shirtless. He was like, hey. And he like sent that to the government for his visa, thinking that it's like really funny. And they like denied it. So he had to like reapply.
What an absolute dumbass.
Like, I'm sorry. This kid does something just massively dumbass every single year. This is like not a charming story. Like, I would be mortified as a parent if I had to tell the story that my son couldn't get his visa because he took a thirst trap selfie and sent it to the government.
But to Lisa, it's more important to show that she's a good parent because her son has a six pack. She's like, yeah. I mean, he has a six pack. So, I mean, good parenting. Am I right? Like, I raised him right.
I don't understand. I don't understand how you can have a six pack and puffy bangs, because the six pack implies that you care about how you look, but the puffy bangs says the exact opposite.
No, a lot of puffy haired guys have six. I mean, they all have it. They literally all have it. The kids that age. So what are you going to do? That's their hair. The puffy white fucking combed forward hair. There's nothing you can do. When they showed his naming ceremony or the letter ceremony, when he's like, I got my letter and it is for Bogota, Colombia. And then it just showed like the sea of white boys with their hair pushed forward and fuzzed up. Like, oh, it just hurts. And I just hurt for them because I know in the future they're going to look back at that and they're just going to be so ashamed. Like, we have it. You know, we have pictures from the fucking 80s and 90s. I mean, listen, we're no innocents, but we just know the pain. You know, that's one thing about being older. You know what the pain that the past causes.
I know. I think the difference is that we have pictures from the 80s and 90s and our hair was kind of the same, but also that was the 80s and 90s. So like, why are you having your hair?
We didn't have hair like that. I mean, I had claw bangs. I had like the swoop, like when I had hair, my mom, me and my sister both had like claw bangs that like went up and
swooped. Oh yeah.
And we even got a painting done at Dillard's of us. And I have forever a painting of myself giving resting bitch face with swoop hair and a maroon turtleneck.
I for a long time had a bowl cut, and then in like fifth grade, because my mom used to cut my hair, and then fifth grade I actually went to a barber, and then I got like a part, and so we just sort of go to the right like this, and that was like my look for the next like 6 years of my life. And then but like there were a lot, if you look back, there were a lot of puffy bangs in the 80s, and you just would think that people would learn from the mistakes.
We don't learn.
But they don't.
Yeah, we don't learn. I mean, read history. Okay, so now they're talking
people don't
about...
learn from the mistakes. I mean, hello, did you watch the first 40 minutes of this video? Of course you didn't.
So Heather, they talk about like why Heather was so traumatized by Jack's mission. So we go over that. And Heather's like, you know, it just reminds me of what I grew up with and what I no longer have, you know, because I was invited. But I knew why, but I still felt hurt and sad. And Lisa's like, well, listen, you know, it's not because you're not in the church. Like, Whitney's not in the church. Like, she has a pole in her house. She's still got to come. So.
Yeah. And so basically, Andy's like, well, you know, but at the moment, you're kind of like Heather. You're kind of like a hater towards the church. So why would she include you? And Heather's like, yeah, but like Whitney got to go, you know? And Whitney's like, but do you understand why I had a basic level of respect, not wanting to talk about it? Because Whitney's really upset that Heather called her a hypocrite for wanting to go. And Heather's like, no, it's just, she basically just says like, you know what, like for me, I just didn't understand if this was like a belief system that this is, we understand how much damage it can do, what it stands for. And then all of a sudden we're gonna be like, oh, good luck, have fun. Like, she was just grappling with it.
So then we go on break and he announces that Mary Cosby is going to come. And Whitney's like, I'll be at lunch then. Burn. I just burned her good. So then we go to break. Monica's in her dressing room and Mary comes in to say hi. And Monica's like, oh my God, even going in. She's just doing like her squeal compliment thing. And so she's like, this has been a real bloodbath. Like, they're all coming for me. They're like relentless. And Mary's like, why do they feel like you did them wrong? And so they're done with you without you even having a chance to explain why? Like, oh, and my God, how many hours have they been out there, for Christ's sake? Like,
I know.
I don't. There, you can say a lot about a reunion, especially this one, but you're not going to say that Monica didn't get a chance to speak. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Monica's like, I am not explaining my situation. I'm like, you have done nothing but talk this entire time. Like, the only time Monica has been quiet was talking about Jack's mission. The rest of it's just been her being like so, like, just like she has not stopped. And so, but of course she paints it like, I haven't been able to say a word. They're just coming for me. As if you did not, you know, like have an account that like was making fun of them all on the internet. She just sort of always phrases it in a way like, I'm just so innocent.
I'm the victim.
Yeah.
So, so we come back. So Mary comes out and Andy's like, well, plots in 2003, Dom Perignon, because we're joined by our old friend Mary M. Cosby. Mary, great to see you at a reunion finally. She's like, okay, that's not funny, and you're going to make me pay for that forever. Because she did, and he rubs it in. He's like, well, we did miss you at the last reunion that you weren't at in season two when you refused to come. We put an entire body of water in the center of the stage for someone to fall, and you didn't even take that chance to slip, which you could have taken, whatever.
She goes, well, I didn't come because, first of all, how I was treated the entire season, and then how things were allegedly said that were completely not true, and I didn't feel comfortable, so I didn't come. And he's like, yeah, but okay, so when you were on Watch What Happens Live, I asked you why you came back to the show, and you said to help you guys out. I'm wondering if the other women, did you feel like you needed the other, you know, needed the other women back to, did you to come back to help the other women? Why can't I say this sentence? Hey, other women, did you feel you needed Mary to come back to help out?
And they're all like, I think, kissing her butt. Like, I don't really see why, but Heather's like, I did. We totally needed Mary. And you see kind of shades of Jen, you know, like how she would treat Jen with kind of kid gloves. And I think she's doing that. She's like, oh, yeah, we totally needed Mary. And Angie's like, yeah, there was some comedic relief there for Greek, sure. And Mary's like, oh, Angie, this is your first year. Why are you even answering? And Andy's like, she was being nice to you. She goes, oh, she was? Well.
And he's like, yeah, she said we needed comedic relief, you know? So then Andy starts talking to Heather. And then Angie turns to Mary and is like, by the way, you have lipstick on your teeth. And Mary's like, oh, thanks. And that apparently is all it takes. Because now Mary loves Angie. So Heather's like,
I didn't even notice that. I was like, wow, what happened with Mary and Angie that it turned so quickly?
Angie was there like, you have lipstick on your teeth. So, you know, Andy's like, well, what do you think about Mary, Heather? And Heather's like, well, you never know what you're going to get with Mary Cosby. And that's kind of the fun, you know, makes filming with her really exciting. And I felt like she was back. I love the fun of not knowing what Mary Cosby's going to say. I'm like, until she says she hates you.
Which is, you know, she's like, the only thing you know you're going to get with Mary Cosby is dissed. So that's fine. That's going to be a great segment. Mary. So she's Andy asks Mary who she likes. And she goes, well, I like Angie. That's your name. Love you. Doing great on the show.
Angie's like, oh.
Have you been on here 10 years? God, you're good. You're really good on this show.
You remember you just gave her a huge amount of attitude about 30 seconds ago.
Nope. That's a lie. So she goes, also, you know, Monica's pretty. I like her. And Meredith. And that's it. And, you know, Heather, I liked you until I saw your interview about me. And she goes, what are you talking about? She goes, about my house, saying, you get to tour Mary's house and like, you know, like making fun of my house. And then we see the clip of Heather being like, oh my God, the decor is just like her personality. Big dog. I mean, she's just so great, isn't she? She's amazing. It's like getting to hang out with one of the popular kids. I mean, she's got Chanel pillows. She's got green carpet. She's got like throne chairs. I mean, like a person from Whoville. It's amazing.
You don't like the reaction to your house, but we're like all fine with your reaction to us. And Mary's like, I don't say anything to you. What do I say about you, Lisa?
Okay. And Mary says like, nothing about anybody. Roll the clip. It's just Mary like, idiot, moron.
Mary says plenty of terrible things in her interviews too. Just as snarky as Heather and the Dr. Seuss chairs. And by the way, Mary, your chairs are wild Dr. Seuss chairs, okay? Like, sometimes you have to face certain truths about your chairs.
Yeah. So she's like, I didn't say anything about you, Lisa. Name one thing. And she goes, well, I mean, okay, maybe not the Saison. So Andy goes, okay, well, what I'll do, you did call Heather inbred. And she goes, Lisa goes, yeah, what's worse, her making a comment about your house or you calling her inbred? And we see the clip of Heather going, so do you really think I look inbred? And Mary going, yeah.
Yeah. And so Mary goes, I think the house comment's worse. And he's like, your decor? And she goes, well, because Heather's phony. Like, don't come to my house and say it's so pretty. Okay. Heather's like, well, I said your house was grand. It has elements that are unique, that are characteristic. It has huge throne-like chairs that no one else on this planet would buy except for someone who was conned by someone else who may have been Dr. Seuss. That's all I said. Mary's like, well, I was in my house before the show and I didn't need this. And you got your house after the show.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to money shame people, Mary. She's not living off tithing of poor people and businesses that she got a hold of by marrying her dead grandmother's husband. Okay. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Now, listen, look, Mary's very, very funny on the show. I'm glad she's back. But coming back here and shaming where people got their money, considering where you got yours, is a lot. It's a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so then Heather's like, after my business, I got my house after my business. I'm like, which grew because of the TV show? So Andy's like, well, what did she say about the house that bothered you? And she's like, she just made fun. They just all made fun. So Heather's like, well, you know what? You're welcome to make fun of my house. And I was just commenting on what I saw and I was excited to be invited. Okay. All right. It's really interesting because you say everything to people's faces and it's shocking. And Mary goes, thank you. Thank you. I'm saying thank you because, you know, I say it to your face. Thank you.
So then we see her greatest tits from the season. What made you wear that necklace? And do you have a mute button? You need to get one. And then telling Monica, you really like to eat. You're a beautiful girl. Don't just eat your life away. And then the best. Wake up, bobblehead.
I'm like, is that really saying something to someone's face or are you just insulting them at that point?
Well, it is. Like, it's just insulting them. But she's like, at least I do it to your face. And Andy's like, yeah, but you say horrible things, but to people's face. And she's, yeah, but they can say it back. I mean, that's what Jesus said, Andy. You know, when people piss you off, diss them right to their face. You know, Jesus was real big about just calling people overeaters. That was his thing.
So Lisa's like, yeah, but like when we do it and, you know, you said, oh, I'm not talking to you anymore. Then that's the end of the conversation. That's it. And Mary's like, why is she butting in? Who's talking to you? Because I'm part of this. What happened to you?
Lisa's like, you say something horrible to me and then you don't like what I'm saying. And like, but like whatever I'm saying, it's like not even the same magnitude. And you're like, oh, I'm not talking to Lisa now.
And she goes, yeah, how'd you even insert yourself? And Andy says, well, she's responding because she's a member of the group. And I said, sometimes you say horrible things to the group, to their face. So that's why she's responding. And she goes, yeah, but I think it's a good thing that you're saying this to the group, that I say things to the group's face. Like, oh, my God. Are you guys, is this the third act of Clue? Like, what's happening? And Lisa, basically, the argument is, why can Mary be an asshole to everybody? But if anybody makes a comment about one of her chairs, you know, Mary's, like, not happy about it, right?
Right.
So then Mary goes, like, okay, Lisa, well, our relationship has been done. And Lisa goes, yeah, you know what? So what? So what? So what?
Hey, let's talk about Robert Jr. Is he married or not? And Mary's like, well, they say they're married, but I haven't seen that. He's like, so do they need to show you paperwork? And she's like, to prove to me they're married? Yeah. Yeah, they do. Okay. And you don't believe him. And she goes, well, I can't even say it. I can't even say, I'm always like, get your girlfriend, because I keep calling her the girlfriend. I can't even say wife. I can't do it.
So he's like, okay, and then you said he was bad in bed. Why'd you say that? And then we see unseen footage of her telling her hairdresser. She's like, you know, I was walking down the hall and I like heard them and they were doing stuff. And I just heard all this screaming. And I was like, oh God, stop making my son think he's better than he is.
That's just funny.
So Mary's like, funny. I loved that. Like, oh God, stop faking it. You're giving this kid too much confidence, you know?
Yeah. She's like, Andy, I didn't say he's bad in bed. I just told the wife or the girlfriend, stop pretending, because like I walk past the room and I'll hear this like noise and like all this screaming and all this like dramatic. And I was like, it's not that serious. Okay. Like, don't give him a bigger head than he already has. I mean, like, come on. And she was like, but it was like yelling. And I was like, yeah, like that, what, like what's wrong? Like, I thought something was like wrong. And like, at that point I was like, when I opened the door and then, well, I started to open the door, but then like I saw it. So I like got the point. I like didn't open the door.
So she basically walked in and she was traumatized. So then Whitney is asked, like, how did she feel about Mary coming back? And Whitney's like,
how do I feel when I'm trying to put words together in the alphabet soup? Nervous. That's how. Well,
and Mary's like, Whitney's terrified of me for some reason. And Whitney's like, no, I was grateful to have the opportunity to try to resolve things with her. I did not like how it ended. I felt bad because I wanted the opportunity to repair that and to show that I'm really good with carpool after all. And you have to like realize that like that came out about you like was not what we were saying. It was just in the press. It was in the news. So Whitney's saying, oh, we weren't gossiping about you. It just was in the news and we were responding to it. I was like, okay, you guys spent the entire last third of season two talking about Mary and bringing in the guy from the congregation and talking about all the stuff that was going on. And now Whitney's going to say like, no, we were just responding to stuff in the press.
Yeah. I mean, Mary totally has a reason to hate Whitney's guts and everybody who brought that up. But your own mother was in the press saying that you stole the church from her by marrying your dead grandma's husband and stealing everything that was supposed to be your mom's. So as gross and messy as it is, okay, but you're just saying that they don't say it to your face, but then they did bring it up to your face after Lisa brought it behind your back the whole season, by the way. Okay. I'm not, all this stuff is like flooding back as I'm talking about it, but this stuff about Mary was really bad, and I'm not going to just be like, oh, poor Mary was a total victim. I mean, the video, the audio that was leaked of her yelling at her church and calling them poor people because they only gave her 14 cards for her birthday and saying, like, I don't want to be around a bunch of poor people. I mean, you're either poor or you're stingy. You're not even paying all your tithes, and yelling at them. Oh, it just was really, it just got so ugly. But that said, I can see why she hates them for it, you know?
Mm.
Yeah,
for
sure. This is crazy.
This is moral quagmire.
What I'm saying.
It's nothing insane. Makes sense.
Where do I fall on this? Where do I fall on the girl who married her step-grandfather and stealing the mom's church and then yelled at the church congregants for being poor? Or am I mad at Lisa for bringing in somebody who was victimized by the church to a party and having him speak on it?
So, yeah, I mean, this show's a disaster, and I love it. So Mary's like, it's not true. And like I said, there was like a lot of things that came out and you know, about you, and I will never, ever say that. Like, you know, what you guys did to me, you know, I heard horrible things about you, but I never said it, and I won't, because that's who I am. Which is basically what Meredith always does, too. But here they're like, yeah, it's okay, Mary's doing it. Like, yeah. Meredith, they're like, hi, you're alluding, you're threatening. And they're like, ah, it's Mary. This time it's just Mary.
Well, once again, I say, one minute you're saying they don't say things to your face, but then they did say things to your face and you're still pissed, you know? So yeah. She's like, well, I wouldn't do that to you. So Andy's like, well, Jim from Jones says, Whitney, don't you see that calling people predators is bad? Okay. And she's like, well, it's because like I have my own trauma. I was like, oh God, here we go. Like everybody blames everything on trauma. She's like, I have my own trauma from being in a high demand religion. So I apologize. I don't think you're a predator, Mary. She goes, I'm not. And neither is my husband. And so, wow. So Andy's like, Whitney, you tweeted, I cannot sit and listen to this evil and mean woman talk about growth. OMFG, dead face. And that was on October 17th, 2023. So that's a recent one. So Whitney coming back and acting like, what? I can't believe Mary is mad at me. What?
Yes. I know. And Whitney's like, well, it's just like hard because I feel like I personally have like put so much work into like myself. And like I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on therapy and also pole dancing classes. And I've been like making a conscious effort to be a better person. And to see you talk about us that way, to see like what you would say in your confessionals, .. And Mary's like, oh, so you're tweeting and cursing and calling me names is growth? Really? Is that what you're saying? Which is like,
God, she's, no. You got her there.
Yeah. Exactly. Sure.
And she goes,
but I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't tweeted about me.
And she goes, well, I didn't tweet anything about you. And then Whitney just makes that face like,
am I wearing any makeup?
And then one of my best friends used to say that growing up all the time, Cheryl. She used to go, am I wearing any makeup? So Andy goes, well, you said she's racist. And we see the clip, the tweet of Mary saying, this tells me Whitney is racist too, but it doesn't say what she's responding to. So I have no idea what this tweet was responding to or what was racist.
Well, so Mary goes, the phrase before that was Mary goes, I didn't tweet anything about you. I just said you were racist. That's it.
So Andy's like, yeah, okay. So you said she was racist. And she says, yeah, I did. And he said, do you believe that? And she goes, I do. 100% I do. And then everyone gasps like, oh, what? And Whitney goes,
that breaks my heart.
He's like, so what's this based on? And she goes, well, you know, what they were brought up in, you know, the religion that they were brought up in, you know, I believe that they have their beliefs and they have like their belief is that our color is cursed by the color of Cain and we'll be in a different heaven and that will be hell. And Lisa's like, hi, I'm a Mormon. Can someone ask me? And they're like, we're not going to Lisa for Mormon expertise.
No, okay? Kidding, because Andy goes, Heather, is that true? She goes, what about me? I'm as Mormon as Heather. And he's like, no,
we're gonna actually go to the woman who wrote a book who is against Mormonism because she's a more reliable source.
Lisa, who owns a tequila company. I'm so sure. So Lisa also, this is a conversation about racism. And Lisa's like, hey, wait a minute. I'm just as Jewish as anybody. I mean, I'm just as Mormon as anybody else here. I mean, come on. I'm a Mormon Jew.
She goes, I'm a Jewish God. Mormon. So I was like, not helping. That doesn't actually make you more of an expert on this. It's actually
literally not really a thing confusing.
It's, that doesn't make sense.
No, so Heather's like, I'm a Christian Jew.
Listen, I've heard of Jews for Jesus, but I don't know if I've heard of Jews for Joseph Smith, personally. So I'm not seeing those, in the airports.
Oh, God.
It's if Joe, undergarments.
It's if Joseph Smith were running for mayor. It'd be like, Jews for Joe. So, yeah, she's full of it. Also, this is a conversation about racism. But also, this is also a conversation about a tweet that said, this tells me Whitney is racist, too. So I want to know what they were originally talking about. And I still have no idea. But the point about Mormons being the Mormon church being racist, I mean, duh. Yeah, it's true. I mean, they didn't allow black people to be to get to the temple level where you actually go to the temple until like 1978. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Heather says that the Mormon doctrine is rooted in racism, but like the Mormon church today is making efforts on every level to have outreach. I'm like, okay. So Whitney is like,
I just want Mary to know, because it's like a big accusation to make that I am no longer a member of the Mormon church. And that was part of my process.
And Mary's like, well, by the way, I don't have anything against the Mormon church either. Like, it's like this weird, like, backpedal. And Andy's like, but you just said it's a racist church. Because, yeah, but it doesn't mean I have anything against them. Now, if the Mormon church had said I had bad decor, now we'd have an issue.
And she's like, I mean, it's just a religion. Like, I don't have anything against them. I just, you know, I just wish we could, like, just leave it alone. And Lisa goes, and that's fair. That's fair, Mary. Let me tell you, as someone who has been bar mitzvahed in Long John's,
Yeah. So Whitney's like, well, look.
Fiddler on the temple. You know what? I've been there. Well, actually, temple does go both ways. Never mind. That one doesn't work. I'm going to workshop that one. Go ahead, Ben.
We're all women of white privilege.
And Mary's like, oh, go ahead. Preach, Whitney. You've been saying some good things lately. I have to say that. I couldn't tell if Mary was being sarcastic or not. And Whitney goes,
but I've been learning, Mary. I want to know personally what have I done or said to you?
And Mary's like, it's not anything you say. It's your actions. It's a feeling. And you have to be my color to know it. And so now Whitney's like,
that's fair.
It's like a that's fair off.
That's fair.
That's fair. That's fair. That counts. That counts. Good goal kick. That's fair.
Listen, as we would say in the old days to our multiple spouses, L'chaim.
Mary's like, it's just,
you can
not
really tell how little I know about both religions.
I've been, let me tell you something, I'm sitting here trying to make a pun, but I just can't think of enough Mormon stuff. I'm like,
listen, as I used to see on my favorite show, Big Love of Hala, I just want to say it's fair. That's fair.
It's like, instead of Christmas tree concerts, it's menorah concerts, maybe? You know about Christmas tree concerts? You know about those?
Oh, so Andy's like, so Andy's like,
I guess you don't.
No, I don't. What'd you say?
Christmas tree concerts?
Christmas tree concerts? There are Christmas tree concerts. There's a Rockefeller Center concert.
No.
What are you trying to drag me into?
Christmas tree concert. So my friend Neil of the Past Present podcast, who he's a historian and like he specializes in a lot of things, but he has clued me in on a lot of stuff. I don't know if this is actually a Mormon thing. That's just maybe a Christian thing. There are these concerts where these enormous Christmas trees are built and people stand in the Christmas trees and sing songs.
They stand in the Christmas tree?
In the Christmas trees, and they sing.
I don't know what you mean. Like, they stand in, like, a field of trees? No, I mean, look, I was raised Christian, and there's, like, things where you go and sing at the tree. I mean, that's true. It's not weird, though. I mean, I guess I've never thought of it being
like
true.
It's like a tree of people. Okay, wait. How do I...
Like, people forming the shape of a tree?
It's people... The tree is people.
The tree is made out of people?
I don't think it's I thought it was a Mormon thing. I think it's just a Christmas thing. Hold on. Let me find.
A tree of people? Christmas tree of people.
Here, I'm going to send you this. I'm going to send you this picture so it makes sense. It's literally a tree of people. But for a moment, I thought it was a Mormon thing, but I think it's just I don't think it is. Okay. Do you see it?
It's a Christmas tree. So it's like people standing on platforms. Oh, it looks kind of like it looks like kind of Hollywood squares where they're kind of platformed, right? But it's in the shape of a tree. Oh, yeah. I've never seen that. That's kind of cute, though. It's kind of like a Busby Berkeley type thing. Like, let's
make a match. You know what it is? It's like a very large version of the Match Game.
Yeah. I mean, look, I say let's bring something new, you know, let's bring something a little different to, you know, Jingle Bells. I'm for it.
And by the way, I just want to say the picture that I brought up is from an article called The Rise of the Singing Christmas Tree, and guess who wrote it? Neil. See?
Oh, no way. So there you go. Well, someone missed picture day because there's one little part of the tree missing. Do you see it up there? Fucking Denise didn't come to Christmas tree.
Singing Denise, Christmas tree.
There's like Denise one person Christmas missing
tree day.
On Did fucking picture day. Denise is like, fell. Sorry.
She fell. She's like, it was, I told them I could not do a tier above level 4. And they put me at the top.
Can I also just say these microphones, they're at the very bottom of the tree, all the way to the left and all the way to the right. How is that supposed to help? Like, who's miking this? You know? Okay, human Christmas trees. So then we go back to the reunion, and Andy's like, so Mary, you weren't at the finale. What do you think about all this reality Von T stuff? And Mary just kind of flinches, and she's like, well, I thought it was over the top that they just pushed Monica out, especially since no one reflected on themselves. You know, I mean, I don't know what this troll account is or anything like that. And Lisa goes, oh yeah, well, what? How would you like it if the account called you a dumb bitch? She goes, well, I probably wouldn't like that, but I don't care because I get called everything on the internet. So what do I care? I'm like, really? You just got mad that somebody made fun of the chairs in your house.
She's like, what are they saying about my chairs? More importantly, let's get down to it, you know? So Monica's like,
I mean, girl, like, what if a good, like, friend called, like, another good friend, like, garbage whore who can go, like, fuck herself, girl.
And so,
Lisa's like, yeah, you know, because, you know, I'm going to say that you called Mary a dumb bitch. And that's why you're speaking up and saying that. And she's, no one got called. And so Lisa's like, play the audio. So then Heather whips out her phone and starts playing the audio while Monica's going, oh, yeah, just get the audio from my best friend, you bitches. So, I love that Monica is just such a big, when she gets like villain mode, she's just like, you bitches, I don't work anything.
So now we have audio, and this is like one of the voicemails that were circling around the internet like last week or 2 weeks ago. And so we have this audio of basically Monica being like,
exactly, that's why I like called her a snake, like, you dumb bitch, like, low-key I want to like DM Mary from like a burner account.
And she's saying like, maybe I should do it from Reality Von T's, maybe I'll do that instead.
And Mary's going, what, who, what are they talking about? And Lisa's like, you, it's about you. Monica goes, no, it's not about you, and you guys, it's not fair for you to play one side of something and make it look a certain way, and nobody, which I mean kind of, but sorry, it's evidence, like, it's evident, this is a witch trial, and this is at least bringing evidence these days, you know?
Yeah.
And so she's like, nobody said anything about Mary. So then we hear more of the recording, and Monica's going, I mean, girl, she probably wouldn't even see it, but I'd be like, bitch, like, I could do it from Reality Von T's. Because, you know, she'd be waiting on that. She'd be watching that shit. Like, Monica's such a weirdo. So she's really going off in these messages. But in her defense, these messages, she does sound like a complete stalker and a weirdo, but she's not calling Mary a bitch.
Well, it's hard to this one in particular. It was like we were talking about it on Crappy Hour, which coming up on this Monday. And it was sort of hard to understand the context of what was going on. And Monica's now saying, well, I wasn't talking about Mary. And then Heather's like, well, was it a different Mary? Was it the Mary who fell off the Christmas tree? I mean, you're going to just dump a DM on the burner account? And Monica's like, no, girl, that was like Jen who was saying it about her. So now Monica earlier was like, oh, so you're just repeating stuff that Jen says, is now fully using that as her defense. Like, I was just repeating what Jen was saying. That's all.
So she's saying it's not about Mary. I have to agree. I don't think it sounds like it's about Mary at all. She's saying it starts with her going, oh, yeah, you. That's why I said, you dumb bitch. That's why exactly why I called her a snake. Like, you dumb bitch. Like, low-key, I want to DM Mary from, like, a burner account.
Yeah,
Meaning she was calling someone else a snake and a dumb bitch, and she's going to get Mary on their ass now by DMing Mary. That's what I'm getting from it.
She doesn't have any beef with Mary, and Mary is, like, one of her few allies left. So I totally agree, but I just thought it was really funny that, like, Monica is such a Bravo star. She is such a Tamra. You know, in that, like, she will attack you for something and then use that same thing as her own defense. So
Monica has a couple points here I think are good. She's like, Jen was the one who said it, which was what you just said. But she goes, but it's not fair that you're playing my side, but you're not playing the other sides, which is Tanisha, obviously. Right. And whoever else was this, like Koa and the other people who were also part of Reality Von T's. She's saying like Tanisha ratted her out, but they're not playing everything that Tanisha said, which I think is true. But at the same time, you're the one who got cast on the show. Like, you used it and spun it into you getting cast on the show, and now you're the one who kind of has to take the heat for it, because otherwise it becomes 20 people, like 20 assistants who were just like scheming. And we don't want to watch a show about all these assistants scheming against the housewives. Like it's kind of gross. We need one to focus on. And that's you. You're the one who got caught and, also, and you turned it into a reality career. So,
and she also made such an effort to get ahead of her other scandals. And she was like so upfront, like, I had an affair, this happened to me, and this happened to me, and this happened to me. So the fact that she did not try to get ahead of this one then sort of really makes her look more guilty, you know? Like, I think like she could have said, guys, I have a confession and I really want to come clean about it. And it's been weighing on me. And I really, I want, it's going to make you guys mad, but I really want, like, they probably would have been like, how dare you? But we're going to give you grace because we're ride or dies. But she didn't. So she really messed this one up in my mind. And what's also funny is that right here, you know, Lisa's starting to like say, blah, 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 blah. She's going off. And Monica eventually then reverts to a new defense, which is, what? You never called someone a dumb bitch before? So now she's like, it's not even that bad. You never called someone a dumb bitch? When like Monica is like, I can't believe they were saying that about me. You know, and... But now she's like, what? Dumb bitch, who cares? No big deal.
What's the big deal? Something I see on El Internet a lot quoted is the narcissist prayer. That didn't happen. And if it did, it wasn't that bad. And if it was, that's not a big deal. And if it is, that's not my fault. And if it was, I didn't mean it. And if I did, you deserved it. And that is kind of,
whoa,
in a way, the Housewives, or really reality show. I mean, we see it on Southern Charm currently, so it's not only Housewives, but it's kind of the reality show thing. But it really explains a lot of what's going on here, I think. And that's pretty exact.
Oh, yeah. It was like when she's sort of like cornered, then she just pivots to something else.
Yeah,
like,
so oh, what? So now it's bad to call people a dumb bitch. Since when? Like, which, by the way, just to be fair, Lisa just called her a fake bitch. So what's better? Lisa's like, you phony bitch, or whatever she said literally before the last commercial. So it's like no one's like completely innocent here. But
yeah. So and then Heather makes some like snarky comment about like, you know, oh, you could just call someone like a dumb bitch or whatever with a burner account, or maybe use Reality Von Teese. Michael's, oh, Heather, shut the fuck up. And Heather's like, oh, God. So
she goes on. Literally, I don't even know what I did to you, Heather. Like, literally.
Okay, Monica, that's a terrible defense there. That's like the worst one of all.
So she goes, Heather, shut the fuck up. Your hairdresser is, or she says something that was beeped out. I think it was, your like hairdresser is Reality Von Teese, because that's Tanisha. Yeah. And she's like, Reality Von Teese is like six people. And Lisa goes, no, it's not. No, it's not. And listen, I've asked people at both kinds of temple. No one has heard of that. And Monica's like, are you serious? And Heather's like, there is a full investigation, Monica. I mean, in all fairness, who's doing the investigating? You and Tanisha?
I mean, that's, I know.
That's not the most trustworthy detective either, Tanisha, you know?
And Meredith does have a fairly good point here, because Meredith has said, I mean, I guess she's just been like frozen the entire time. It is so cold in here. But Meredith is like, listen, doesn't really matter if it's one or six people, which is really the most salient point here, because who cares? You can try to pawn it off on the fact that there was two, three, four, five, or six other people. You were still being deceptive by omission to your friends. Like, I don't know what friend group is down with someone in the group having a burner account, and even like writing snarky things, it is like a violation of trust.
It is, but on the other hand, Heather still employs and is friends with one of those people that she's using all of this evidence from. So it's like, how seriously do you take it if you're still so close with Tanisha and all is forgiven with Tanisha? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, maybe Heather's thinking like, well, she came clean and I don't want to punish good behavior. I don't know, but I would get rid of Tanisha.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean,
Tanisha,
I think that's what it is. Really, it's like messy. When you go to your parents, like, you know, you're caught with something and you're like, Dad, I have to admit, I took your car out last night.
Well, as long as you were honest,
I'm so proud of you for your honesty. So,
it's a plea deal.
Sandy's yeah, like, pretty much.
Hold on, everyone. Hold on. And Mira's like, I want to say something because I feel like they should hear Monica out. And I don't think they're letting her talk, which I'm like, Monica has talked a lot.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, that's what I think. But Andy's like, well, we haven't discussed this issue until now. So just when you thought you've heard of everything, I mean, this show really. So we see clips of next week and Monica's squealing, I was not stalking Jen. And then Andy goes, you set up Jen's security cameras, right? She's like, uh-huh. And he goes, so you had the ability to see what she was doing and hear what she was saying in her home? And she goes, yeah.
That's so fucked up. That is such a violation.
I mean, that is like a massive sliver shit. That is sliver. I mean, we talked about in Crappy Hour that she was the one that set up the cameras. I thought they were in the office. I didn't know they were in her home, that she's like getting all the camera feeds from her home. I mean,
that's like, I think might be, I don't know, is that borderline illegal? That is just like, That is definitely fucked up. But I will say, by the way, to Mary's point, like some credit to Mary here is that I was a little frustrated in the finale that when it was time for Monica to be like, okay, here's the story. Here's how I got involved in this. Here's what we did. That Lisa was the one who like barked up and just sort of like cut her off. It was like, oh, you're just going to record us now. Is that what you're going to do? You're just going to record us. And then Monica started screaming. So we really didn't get to hear the story. And I was really pissed about that. So I am interested in hearing Monica's side of the story. But what was funny was Monica acting like she just hasn't been able to even express herself this entire reunion. It's like, yeah, she said quite a bit, lady.
Well, I have to say, it was the second hour of a reunion. And usually that is the most boring hour. It's like nothing happened. It sucks. And it still was fantastic. And the next one looks really, really crazy good.
I'm going to predict that next week's will be a supersized one because we also have to get the story of the black eye. And so we have both reality.
Yeah, next week's supersized. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we have to get the origins of Reality Bounties and then the eye. And then the crazy part is we have part three next week. And then the week after that is the Vanderpump Rules premiere. Like we are literally rolling over from Reality Bounties back into Scandaball on the same night. Not the same night, but like the same time slot. This is a lot for us to take on. This is a lot emotionally. That's a big pivot.
It is. Okay. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being here. Go check us out on Patreon for bonus episodes, videos on Crappins on Demand over on Patreon, and get your tickets for the Golden Crappies February 17th in Los Angeles. Pick those up at watchwhatcrappins.com. And guess what? Monday night is Crappy Hour. That's our live show talking about whatever you want to, okay? On Instagram. Join us, 5:30 Pacific time. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Catchit.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.